Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, SnapAsk is a Singapore-headquartered platform for holistic, self-directed learning. It officially published its first white paper in partnership with the National Tsinghua University Institute of Learning, Science and Technologies. And it shows that independent, self-directed learning is the future of education. For more insights, we speak to Kelly Chen, who's head of Singapore at SnapAsk. Kelly, thanks for your time.
Hi, Howie.
We first need a definition, though, help us out for some of us Gen X learners, I suppose. What exactly is independent self-directed learning?
Self-direct learning is actually one of the methodology we help the student or even adult to learn further. Learning is actually a lifelong journey, so we hope that we can build a strong learning foundation for our students. So it is suitable across all age groups, but it is actually different from the learning speed or amount of support needed. So in SnapAsk, we are trying to promote and advocate self-directed learning to ensure that we, along the journey of the students, we will be able to help them to find out their confidence and learn better for the future.
So Kelly, this particular independent self-directed learning, what does it look like? Because we often hear, you don't know what you don't know. So how do you know to go and find out about what exactly?
Right. It is actually like saying one will not start to crave for knowledge until we start asking questions.
Okay.
So I believe it's very much relevant to self-direct learning, and there will always be gaps in our knowledge and experiences. But the most important thing is to keep an open mind and stay curious in order to continue one's lifelong learning. If not, SnapAsk, the learning journey always begins with the questions. So with every subsequent support and guidance, we hope that the student will be compelled to ask more questions. And this is a good sign that they are curious and ready to learn further.
So how can we get ourselves in that kind of mindset? Because earlier I was talking about how as a Gen X, this was how we learned, where the teacher gave us a textbook and if you read it or study it, you'll be all right. And by the time it comes to exams, I can spit it all back out. Not sure then how self-directed learning comes into play with an approach like that. So for example, if we say, bring up a subject that I know nothing about, astrophysics, if you will, I have no idea where to begin asking a question.
Okay, so if we try to kind of look at the full spectrum of self-directed learning, actually it is fitting for all. So we can just start by looking at this as a two model dimension. So the first one is the student could be able to pay attention or stay focused. And the other part, they are capable to learn or they can plan their learning plan. So students at lower self-directed learning levels, they kind of have hard time. So like you mentioned, it is hard that I don't know where I should start. So if the student, they are kind of at lower self-directed learning levels, we will need to guide the person further and help them to stay focused and train them to be able to kind of stay in a books, any kind of medium. And students at higher self-directed learning levels, they are most likely they could kind of know what they wanted, or maybe they know a bit what they don't know, and we need to kind of help them and support them to make their own study or learning plans. So it's actually different kind of scale or level that we need to provide different supports required for them, so which kind of improve their proficiency in self-directed learning competence. And it is also be able to access through different kind of questionnaires we have, or you can observe by your level of paying attention and capability to do your learning plan.
So how else though? You talked a lot about self-directed learning proficiency or lower level, higher level. How does one assess that?
So that is the model that we try to simplify, because most of parents, we have no idea whether my child is okay to take this model. That's why we create the two dimension, the paying attention and learning plan. So the paying attention part is if you are looking at the primary one or maybe primary four, even we don't need to set the age group, but pretty much the younger age group of the students, they kind of have shorter attention focus. So that's why in the very early stage, we will try to guide them a bit, trying to guide him. For example, there are some material trying to tell students to connect all the dots. So they will just like connect one and two and three and four. So in the end, they will be able to complete the full picture of the dots connected. And for higher grade like JC, they pretty much know what they want to do, but they actually need a lot of support to make them feel more efficient. So that's the dimension that we can consider, but it's not really, really kind of just differentiated by the age. It is actually based on how you groom them into higher self-directed learning levels.
We're speaking with Kelly Chen, who's head of Singapore at SNAP Ask. Kelly, before we talk about, say, the differences between children and adult learners, what about your approach at SNAP Ask? You tell us that self-directed learning is just one of a few approaches that you employ. Tell us more.
So we provide time-based assistance that encourages students to not only learn, but also help them dive into concepts they do not understand with sufficient guidance. We kind of trying to encourage, and then the student will be able to earn confidence, and then we provide further support. So you just image the situation that if the student learns something at the school or maybe tuition center or any places, they want to know further, how can we encourage them to learn further? Sometimes the parents at home, they are not really free or they are not capable to answer the questions, then it actually discourages the student to learn further. So once, twice, and then further, it becomes like, all right, I couldn't get support, I don't want to learn. So then it becomes a lot of issues. But how can we encourage the student's curiosity, where when we have the motivation to learn and we get the necessary support? So the encourage part is the starting point, that when students have a question, which means they learn something and they want to learn further. Same as provide the encouragement to tell them, hey, we have a bunch of the tutor network that we will be able to help you no matter what kind of situation. Once we kind of grow this and encourage them further, they will start to pick up their confidence. So they know, oh, I actually know this and that, and then further, I have the confidence and I will be able to think about what I don't know next. So It becomes like a positive loop. And at this time, we know we are already cultivating the learner to be more self-directed learning levels, and we will provide the rest of the support like the learning plans, and we'll tell them how we can do the recommendation for you to study further. So in the end, this capability can grow into the problem solving for the adults when the student go into the society.
Talk to us then, Kelly, about the differences between children and adult learners when it comes to this approach. I gotta say, because I got my degree whilst as an adult, there was very little curiosity per se that drove me. It was more, I have to get the grade, I have to get the piece of paper, just tell me what I need to know to pass the exam, so to speak.
Yeah, I think in the past that we always feel like the traditional classroom learning is kind of efficient, which is right. And we couldn't deny a lot of students still kind of earn a lot of knowledge from that kind of format. And the self-directed learning is actually not conflicting with any model of the learning environment. So we can still learn in the classroom as long as you are a self-directed learner in your classroom setup. It will be still helping you to kind of pick up your learning through that situation.
However, but I also feel, though, Kelly, the intention helps with the retention. So, for example, I did my degree 2 years ago. I completed my degree 2 years ago, and I have pretty much forgotten most of what I learned during that time.
Right. So when we try to do a certain assessment or measurement, whether you learn or not, pass the exam is still the most effective way. So far, we know most of the countries, they start to do certain revolution or kind of changes to see how can they motivate the students to learn, not just the textbook itself. So we just try to define certain curriculum, and we base on that to be able to explore the world further. So it is just a starting point, but that is the foundation all of the students in that country need to pick up. So for example, if we are in Singapore, we need to know the history of Singapore. That is a foundation. But a lot of students, if they know further about history and the beauty of our pioneer people help us to build the countries, they will find out, wow, we can do actually further. So this kind of motivation is something we are trying to cultivate. However, we couldn't really abandon whatever foundation the government set us to be able to pick up. So that is the foundation that why younger students, they need to, based on the syllabus or curriculum set as a starting. And once they pick up, the so-called learning capability as a basic skills, and they can explore further where that is the thing that we want to emphasize to the parents, that how can we support them. It is not just about the points or scores, but the attitude toward the learning is important. Mm. They have to find out the motivation, the beauty of learning, because it is a lifelong journey. We need to kind of cultivate the attitude toward just the knowledge itself.
What about, though, this 70-20-10 model of learning for adult learners? 70% of what you'll learn would be on the job and 10% only from a classroom. So we have this big push here in Singapore to upskill, to go for various courses, all these great training initiatives that the Singapore government has rolled out. It feels as though I might not retain the knowledge that I learn in the classroom if I don't get to put the skill into practice.
I think a lot of theory or knowledge they are from the book is trying to set up certain model that is very simplified, and people feel like it's useless to learn those because they don't know how to apply. So I think the 7-20-10 is also kind of quite aligned with self-direct learning, because for younger students, they are expected to kind of pass exam, and actually they have shorter attention spans, and then they become more engaging and interactive learning. So a lot of like the kindergarten or the primary school students, they will do a lot of projects at the moment and trying to kind of pick up the knowledge, how they actually learn and apply. And adult learners are more independent, so they take more ownership of their learning. Usually the employer provide more advanced guidance for higher level subjects, or maybe suggesting learning plans, so you can see all the learning and development plans that the child team is trying to pick up and try to guide the employee further. So we do agree with this 7-20-10 model of learning, from formal learning to social learning, and ultimately learning from experience. So that's from the formal learning. So we said that it's about 10%. But how can we really apply it? Then for social learning, which is 20%, our students can get to interact with the tutors who will provide mentoring and coaching in solving their problems. And lastly, the 70% will be the learning from experience, where again, by completing their daily task, resolving issues, or regular practice, ultimately students can learn through doing. So a lot of parents, they will do a lot of assessment, right? Where we want to create more possibility that you know how this knowledge can be applied. So in the process, they are becoming more knowledgeable and prepared for the future challenges.
Kelly Chen is head of Singapore at SnapAsk. Thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.